Hello, Vida people. How's
hey,
it going?
Up?
I'm going to say hello to Woodman and Crane units in Gatesville, Texas, Charlotte Correctional in Punta Gorda, Florida, Moorhaven, Florida, Ricky Patton, Chris, Aaron, Eric, Jonathan, Raymond, Thomas, Edward, and Donnie, if I can read my writing right. Hutchison Correctional in Kansas.
Yeah.
Or is it? Yeah, Hutchison, yeah. Correctional in Kansas. And let me see, there's some weird names there. So I'm going to read a couple of them. Humpty, Twinkie, Kid, and all the rest. You guys, thank you for the card so much. Let's see. If you are attending, I want to remember this. If you are attending by mail, the Agape Christian Center Bible School, those of you that can send stamps if possible with, or even if it's just one stamp to help them out, they got so big, we put them on here.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, that the, wow. the mail, the stamps are becoming a problem. But, you know, if you want to send stamps there, even if you're not attending there and you send stamps to that Agape Christian Center so they can send the Bible school.
Yeah.
I think it's like $2 per mail. $2 something per mail. So if you can do that, you're going to have to go back and look up the address unless maybe we can look it up and put it up here later.
Yeah.
Okay. So Beattyville, Kentucky. I hope I'm saying that right. Hello to you guys. Bay County Jail in Florida. I got 33 signatures.
Wow.
From them. Thank you so much, you guys. And I get so many cards and I hope you can see them back there with lots of signatures. I even put one up that's just signatures.
Wow.
Because it just means so much and it's so amazing. There's no way to shout you all out. Please, please consider that there's no way to shout everybody out, but everybody's included. We're all Avida Nation.
Right. Amen.
We love you guys. We're so glad that you love us. Listen to this one. Miami Correctional Facility in Bunker Hill, Indiana.
Okay.
It is not in Miami. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? What's it doing with that name, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's weird. Yeah. Anyway, Audio and all the others that are listening in Fort Myers, Florida, Audio, awesome. You got your shout out. And, you know, because they were saying he's writing for nothing. But we read them all, you guys.
Right.
We read them all.
Of course.
And we're so glad that you're watching Fort Myers. Juan Castillo in McConnell Unit, Jordan Kettle in Hughes Unit, Johnny D. Diaz, sorry you were asleep when we went, but we beat your Celly Fo show at foosball.
Oh, come
over
on,
there.
Man.
That's his Celly.
5-0.
We called him Bunky, I think.
But brutal.
Over there. So we did play good foosball that day or something. Anyway. Denver Detention Center. Hello to all of you guys. Let's see. I want to say to this guy in Lillington, North Carolina prison, Chris.
Okay.
In Lillington, North Carolina prison from your big brother, Jeff, who is also incarcerated. Hello.
Awesome.
And then Jeremy Fuller. And, you know, there are lots of brothers, mothers, sons, father, sons, cousins,
right.
You know, locked up. I love when we can pass the word on. I want to share this before you get into your things, maybe. It's from Yakima, Washington. And this, we told you guys, we're getting letters from the families outside by the piles as well.
Yeah.
And then people that are getting out and then people on Securus and then people in the mail. And it's all Vida Nation. It's all family.
Amen.
We love you guys all so much, but let me share a little bit of this letter. It's too long for all of it. And by the way, you can see it's highlighted in pink. It is highlighted so I know what to read and don't share personal information or it's too long or what's relevant to the program. That's why I do highlight. But it says, "Hello, Real Vida Familia. I am out in the free world and have never done time behind bars only because of God's grace. Lord knows I could have ended up behind bars many of the times because of the bad choices I made in my past, but God's mercy and grace saved me from going down that path. I wanted to write to encourage you all that make Real Vida Ministry possible. You are not only uplifting and encouraging God's children behind bars, but you are doing the same for His children out in the free world.
Come on.
My baby brother, who is doing time in Shelton, Washington, has really been encouraging me lately.
Wow. Awesome.
He has started working on his relationship with God, which is an answer to my prayers for many, many years. I have wanted this for him, for all my siblings lost in the world gripped by the enemy's lies. You see, I too was once lost and held captive to the lies of the enemy, but God had a plan. He placed good leaders in my life that would lead me down the right path." So she went through a bunch of things, and she went through a really hard time. And I'm going to skip that part of the letter. But what happened here, she said, during this time, my baby brother, who I told you about, was calling and sending me messages on Securus. Okay. Suggesting your podcast to me.
Wow.
I put it off for a bit, but then decided to listen. The first one I listened to was Free Centoya. Mm. Oh man, I can't tell you how that inspired me, reminded me that God is good through the pain, through the darkness. He has plans for us, that what the enemy meant for evil, God turned for good. I will be honest, I never expected for my brother to be the one who would encourage me.
Wow.
He started asking me if I had heard of Brian T. Rare Breed. That excited me. I told him, yeah, I've been listening for years. God spoke to me years ago. He told me I needed to stop listening to secular music, and that's when I discovered Christian hip hop. I have been sharing with others, but never shared it with my brother, my baby brother at least. I had no idea that he could listen to music, podcast, or anything like that while being locked up. I am grateful he can, because he is listening to your ministry. It makes me happy. It seems I can't get enough either. I listen to an episode of your podcast almost every day.
Oh, that's so cool.
God is using it for me just as much as he's using it for my brother. Amen. Another miracle I wanted to share is that my baby brother was supposed to be out last summer. But he got into some trouble and got extended and got moved to a different facility. I see this as a blessing, because he tells me that his mind wasn't at that time in the right place to be released.
Wow.
He had just started listening to your podcast before getting relocated. He started listening more and drawing closer to God. When he got settled into his new home, he now sees that he was being prepared, and still is, by God, so that he can be in the right mindset when he is released. Thank you for your willingness to be used by God to reach those that are feeling hopeless, lost, broken, or in the darkness inside and outside of those concrete walls.
Wow.
Such a great letter. And so then she sent me a prayer cloth, and she sent me also a drawing that meant so much to her, because her older brother, who was incarcerated, had drawn it for her. And she said, I didn't want to part with it, but God told me to send it to you.
Wow.
And it's so precious. So precious. Thank you so much. But I wanted to share that letter with you and share with you guys on the inside how he's using you guys to encourage your family on the outside.
Yes.
Wow.
To be a witness, to be a light, you know, to lead them to the podcast, to lead them to Christ many times. Or and to draw you guys closer, right? I mean, it's just, it's been something with the lives that, you know, God gave us to do, and the podcast, and just everything put together, how God is bringing families together. It's amazing.
Wow. You know, I was just thinking while you're reading that, we get so many letters and messages right now to the website, Facebook, everywhere. And a lot of people who are excited about what God is doing in their life, and they're like bubbling over with excitement, and they send messages. I want to come preach on the podcast. I want to share a word.
There's too many.
And it's really just like the shout outs. There's no way to shout out everyone that writes. And even if we did a podcast every single day, there's no way that everybody that has a word bubbling inside of them can come on our podcast and share it. We just don't have enough.
Right. But, and another thing is, I mean, we have to know somebody a little bit. We can't just have anybody and everybody come down. And then as soon as you get out, I want you to walk it out a little bit too, you know, and we're going to be led by God or what have you, but we also have a word to share on our podcast, and music and, interviews and things like that. So we can't have everybody on, but you can start where you're at.
Exactly.
So wherever you get out, go to your local church, you know, go donate your time. If there's a ministry like Salvation Army or something like that, where you can do that, Under the Bridge kind of ministries, downtown ministries. You just don't have, like, I think, a big enough mind to go, what can I do? God will show you right where you're at. You know, not everybody has to come on Real Vida to share the word. You share the word right where you're at with those that God has placed around you.
Including your family members.
Amen.
So, it's so exciting. Okay, so I got some shout outs also. I want to shout out Eddie and all of D-Block in Uinta, U-I-N-T-A-H. I'm sure I mispronounced it. County Jail in Vernal, Utah. Arab and his mom, Tanya. Billy, a.k.a. Mini Coop, and all the guys at the U.S. Disciplinary Barracks in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. And he said, lots of people, honey, are talking about Real Vida. In fact, there's people doing Bible studies based on the podcast. So we just want to shout out all the guys there in Fort Leavenworth. Walt the Wiz, I like that name. Okay. He could have entered that in the nickname contest. We may need to have a new, a 2024 nickname contest because we're getting lots of good nicknames now. All the other guys with him at Caswell Correctional in Blanche, North Carolina. Mike Marshall in Columbia, CI, Florida. And Hughes Unit, I just wanted to correct my mispronunciation. There was a guy that I got a chance when we went in December, went back to SEG, and I got a chance to baptize a guy with a water bottle, and I said his name wrong. So I feel like I need to correct it. It's Oscar Collazo. And he has now been fully submerged, even though he was already saved. He's been fully submerged.
And if you can do that, that's great.
Yeah. Right. The ministry team from Hughes Unit went back there and just want to shout out all those guys too.
Awesome.
I have a letter and it says, hello there.
Just a portion of it.
Yeah, just a portion. Hello there. How are you? I just finished watching the interview with Tommy Chapa and it was really good. It's so crazy how you can look at someone totally different once you know them and hear their story. I respect how open and vulnerable he was. That so many people would be watching. I could see that he did it to reach as many people as he could. It's important that the people watching see the humanity, the flaws, and grasp the concept that everybody has a story. If he can turn his life and mindset around, so can anybody else. It was so appropriate that he kept it real on a Real Vida interview. That's what's up.
Amen. Awesome. You know, and I, you know, took that little portion of that Securus letter that I wanted to share because it's true, right? You know, it changes when you hear someone's story.
Right.
Right. So, you know, you can have all this animosity or hatred towards a certain group of people or what have you, and then you hear someone's story and it changes how you feel about them. It changes your understanding of them. It changes how you look at them. And I want you to keep that in mind so that you stay in your own lane. And I haven't been on that topic for a while, but we aren't the judge of everybody's life. We don't get to say, you know, well, I don't like their brokenness because we don't choose our brokenness. We have all sinned and we have all come short of the glory of God and we all need repentance and we all need daily work and we're none of us perfect. And so we have to strive for that perfection. We have to strive for God. And in the meantime, love our brothers and our sisters around us and keep ourselves from judging their brokenness and what they struggled with or what their crime was or what their sin was. Then what happened, whatever happened in their life or what you perceive to be happening. Sometimes you perceive wrong, you know, somebody's, you know, sad about something and, you think they're mad, they're tired and you think they're being stuck up or something bothered them. They were offended and they weren't. So you just don't know. And communication is the best thing. And loving people, number one, is always what's best. So we have a whole lot to share with you, but we're going to take a music break and then we'll be right back.
I know I've been bad lately, and I just pray that you get me home safely. Cause all these demons, they got my mind racing, and I wanna go home, oh yeah. God, I know that I've been bad lately, but I just pray that you get me home safely, oh yeah.
Lord, I've been thinking a lot about you lately. I'm not here to talk about things vaguely. My life just hasn't been the same. I've come to realize that life ain't a game. The reality of life is that it's hard in it. And I'm positive that God, you noticed this. Turns out the demons really do exist. But the only thing I seem to do is deal with it. God, I'm running really low on faith. Feels as if my mind is gonna break. I'm running back and forth between what's right and wrong. Please help me, Lord, I cannot do this on my own.
Dear Lord, can you please help me? I know I've been bad lately, and I just pray that you get me home safely. Cause all these demons, they got my mind racing, and I wanna go home, oh yeah. God, I know that I've been bad lately, but I just pray that you get me home safely, oh yeah.
You said that you would never ever leave my side. How come I don't ever feel you by my side? My mind is running wild trying to figure out a way in life to fix my issues, level out. I'm tired of struggling with my addictions, with weed and nicotine and non-existence. This way of life is leading me away from friends and family. I feel astray. God, I'm at my lowest point. I just wanna hear your voice. I'm tired of being all alone. Help me, Lord, I'm struggling to reach your throne.
Dear Lord, can you please help me? I know I've been bad lately, and I just pray that you get me home safely. Cause all these demons, they got my mind racing, and I wanna go home. Oh yeah, God, I know that I've been bad lately, but I just pray that you get me home safely. Oh yeah.
Okay, we're back, and we got a full day, a full program and a full day. We got a church service in a little bit, and then we're going to have another podcast later. So we got a lot going on. But people have been asking about discipleship in their letters and what have you. And so I want to talk about that some, and we're definitely going to do some of that. And that, people, is just going to be a matter of us teaching you and you applying it to your life. It don't have to be one-on-one in a letter. And can you imagine, like, what we're going to share today? Yeah. How could I say that on a letter? It would take more than 15 pages front and back to say everything we're going to say on this about this particular area. And that's because we're going to give a pinch of it.
Right.
And so if you will apply to your life, what the word of God says, what we're teaching, what those around you that know the Lord are teaching, make sure it lines up with the word of God.
Yes.
So let me give you just discipleship. The definition is a dedicated follower of Jesus, not just a follower of Jesus, a disciple. They're a dedicated follower. And those, I'm telling you, are few and far between.
Right.
That's why Jesus had a bunch of followers. Now, if Jesus was on Facebook right now, he'd have the most followers.
Yes, you're right.
But he wouldn't have disciples. Right? He would have a few disciples and he would have a whole lot of followers.
Right.
But a dedicated follower of Jesus, meaning that I'm committed to this. I'm committed to doing all that you say, Father. I want to know exactly what you say, what you want from me, how you want it, when you want it. You say jump, I say how high.
Right? Come on.
But he only had 12 of those and one of those betrayed him. So, excuse me, there was only 11 people after all of those people were following him because of what he could do for them.
Right.
There were only a few following for the right reason. So I hope you're starting to grasp it. It means to be a pupil, a student, a learner, a convert, an evangelist, because we all are going to become an evangelist because you're going to tell others about Christ. And so you're going to lead them to him. That is evangelizing, an educatee, not an educator, an educatee, right?
Yeah,
this is
good.
another synonym actually for disciple, right? Okay. So to disciple comes from a word, like you say, I'm discipling someone. You can't even really find that. You can't find that definition, but it comes from discipline, disciple, and it means to train. Like the sergeant in the army, he's training to drill, to coach, to correct, to exercise, drop, come on, and give me those burpees. I saw those G4s over there. They were doing burpees.
Right.
It was like, because the discipline of the body goes with the discipline of the mind, goes with the discipline of the spirit. Come on, you start getting disciplined in every area of your life. You've been discipled, disciplined in every area of your life. Okay, it means to disciple, means to school, to teach, to edify. And it's going to be edification. Even when you don't like it, it is going to edify you.
Right.
True discipleship. It's going to be to give lessons, to familiarize you with the word of God. By the time we're done, we're going to go through this over and over, like ABCs and 1-2-3s. You're going to know some of these words. No one's ever going to have to tell you them again. To familiarize you so much with the word of God, the way he thinks and who he is, the way we should be. We're familiarized. If somebody comes and tells me, I don't have every word, and no one I know has every single word of the Bible memorized.
Right.
No one I know has every single scripture of the Bible memorized. But if somebody comes and they tell me a scripture that they're saying is a scripture, but it is contrary to the will and the word of God, and I know him because right. I am so familiar with his word, I'm like, that ain't in there.
Right.
No, that ain't in there. Right. I've read it. That's not in there. Now, yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't know where everything is, but I know that's not in there.
Right.
Because he's not like that.
Come on.
Right? He never told you to do that.
Come on.
And hopefully you begin to know your brothers and your sisters around you, those that know you, right? I want you to know Mama Eve that way, that if somebody comes and says, you know, Mama Eve, even Real Vida is doing such and such, you go, that ain't them. You know,
right.
You misunderstood what they said or what they did. There's no way that is not them.
Right.
Please become familiar with me, right?
Right.
To accustom, it means to disciple. It means to accustom, to reprove, and to rebuke.
Come on.
So even reprove and rebuke. So we like some of the words, right? Some of the words we're like all excited about. I want to be coached. Please coach me, Miss Eve. I want to be taught and edified. I want to be edified and exercised. But then we get to the words reproved. I don't know if I want to be reproved and rebuked. But that's what comes with discipling or discipline training is you also get corrected, reproved, and rebuked. You've got a scripture we were looking up. Yeah.
So in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong with our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong teaches us to do what is right. And God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. And what I love about it is, you know, in Hebrews 4:12, it talks about the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide the soul and spirit, right?
Come on.
And that's that what you're talking about. You got to build down, you know, tear down, I'm sorry, and then build up is the purpose of discipleship and the way that it happens. You both tear down the things that are wrong and you build up the things that are right.
So if you're hearing the word ever, if you have never done this, you should.
Yeah.
Right.
And maybe you will. Okay. If you'll pay attention, have you ever gone and heard a sermon and a certain part of the sermon, you're like, ooh, I've done that, or I'm doing that. Oh, that's how I thought, or I think, or whatever.
Right.
That should happen to you sometimes. And so when that happens, it's like, okay, I'm going to dig this up because this is a weed. It's not a plant.
Right.
And I'm going to pull it out and I'm going to replace it with the right seed and the right way of thinking.
So you're talking about weeds, and it just reminds me of the garden. So those of you who've watched for a while, you know that I enjoy gardening. And so the other day I went out and checked on my raised bed garden, and there's weeds everywhere because the fall garden's basically over and it's time to plant the spring garden. But I'm not going to go out there with all the weeds overgrown in it and all the volunteer plants and just start planting the spring garden. First, we've got to dig up all the weeds and get the ground clear. And so I was out there, and Eve and Ada both got out there, and Chris, we were all working on getting the weeds out, because you can't plant until you get the weeds out.
Right. Okay. So now we know that it's to reprove, it's to rebuke, it's to exhort, it's to do all these things, to coach, to drill, to correct, to exercise, all of that. And secondly, I want to go to the leadership. We have no choice. We have no choice. If you're going to be a leader, you have to disciple. You don't have a choice that you don't like to do it. It's not fun sometimes because people get mad, and, you know, just think of our babies. Okay. Our babies, just in the natural, that we have biological children, they don't like when you take their bottle away, but they're not big enough to beat you up. But if they could, they would, because they would. Yeah, if you took their passy away, because you're like, right?
Mad. Yeah.
And they swing their little hands at you or whatever, and you go put them in the corner. Oh, no, you don't, right?
Yeah.
But if they were big enough, just think if they were the size as an adult they were going to be, and they were still a baby mentality.
Wow.
They would knock you out.
Right.
That's, I mean, you know, God was really smart making them small, right? And they didn't grow up so fast until they could handle it. But stay with me.
Yeah.
Because just think of a baby in the Lord who's got that mentality.
Right.
And they grow into this 20-year-old Christian who was never disciplined.
Right.
Wow.
Well, they're still smacking you like they did when they were first born, but now they're full size. It hurts, man.
Yeah.
And so this has happened. This is the world that we live in. I've been smacked by a few babies who are already grown up and viewed as mature believers, but yet they're smacking me and it hurts, right? And people expect that since they're old enough and they're in leadership, that they're acting right or they're telling the truth. That's some serious stuff. Okay. So we don't have a choice on whether we do or not disciple people. It must be done. It is not a choice that we make or don't become a leader.
Come on.
And we should not put people in leadership that are babies in the head, right? Okay. So let's go to Malachi. I want to show you the scripture for it. And we're going to read some of 1 and 2. They're just so good. I was trying to cut it shorter, but I can't. And chapter 1 of Malachi, the Lord of Heaven's army says to the priests, to the leaders, a son honors his father and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where's my honor and respect I deserve?
Come on.
You have shown contempt to my name, but you asked, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? You have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. When you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving these gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of Heaven's army. So let's stop. They're saying so much right there. But I know I got to give you some understanding. Those of you that don't understand what was going on here, this was before Jesus died on the cross. And so they were in the old temple and the Holy Spirit dwelt in the ark of the covenant, right?
Right.
And they came and they offered sacrifices because the Lamb of God, which was Jesus, was not offered on the cross as a sacrifice ultimately for all of our sin yet. And so because he wasn't, they had to offer animals. So they brought these animals to the priests, to the leaders, like pastors, like Jeremy and I, right? And they said, you know, here's the sheep I want you to sacrifice for me to our God. And it would be like me and Jeremy, we could see it, but it's blind. Right. And it's diseased.
Yeah.
And so the priest could say, no, take that back and bring your best to the Lord. Right. But instead, the priests were allowing it. And they were the ones ultimately responsible the step before God to correct the people. And so God said, how is it any different, right? So if somebody comes and offers a defiled sacrifice to the Lord in his temple, in his church, right, in his sanctuary, and we as the pastors do not say that is not how you worship,
right?
And whatever it is that we've got to teach them, we are held responsible. So are they.
Yeah.
But even more us for not teaching the people correctly. Now, if we teach them correctly and they still do it, then that's on them.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me read a little bit more. Go ahead and beg God to be merciful to you. But when you bring that kind of offering, why would he show you any favor at all? If when you come to God, you don't give him your best, if you don't fear God and you come into the chapel to have your little meeting, right? To do whatever you're doing in disrespect and dishonor to the Lord.
Right.
How do you expect to be shown any favor at all? Asked the Lord of Heaven's armies. How I wish one of you would shut the temple doors so that these worthless sacrifices could not be offered. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. I will not accept your offerings, but my name is honored by people of other nations from morning till night. All around the world, they offer sweet incense and pure offerings in honor of my name. For my name is great among the nations, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. And I'll say, yeah, I mean, in nations where they literally have to risk their life in order to go to church, there, I mean, I have books by some, you know, a young Muslim girl who had to risk her life to sneak out the window, go to church. She was beat by her brother, beat by her father many, many times within inches of taking her life for going to church. Like, people are risking their lives. Those people are really worshiping God in spirit and truth and risking everything to do it. And it's these other nations, especially the United States of America, I'm going to say, that don't have to risk their lives, that take it so lightly that not only they don't risk their life, but they go in with defiled offerings and defiled ways before the Lord to offer him the offerings. So it says, but you dishonor my name with your actions, verse 12, by bringing contemptible food. You are saying it is right to defile the Lord's table. You say it's too hard to serve the Lord.
Come on.
Can you believe the things that we say are too hard?
Right.
Right?
Wow.
Like, you know, I can't take this, right? The air conditioning's out in my house right now, you know? What simple little nonsense things that we're complaining about when others have it so hard just to worship God. And I know we don't think about it often, but we do need to think about it. It's too hard to serve the Lord. And you turn up your noses at my command, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. Think of it. Animals that are stolen and crippled and sick are being presented as offerings. Should I accept from you such offerings as these? Asks the Lord. Oh, wow, wow, wow. So I'm going to give you that as homework and read chapter 2. Listen, you priests, verse 1, this command for you, listen to me and make up your minds to honor my name. So he's rebuking at this point, he's rebuking the leadership, the priests. He's saying, make up your minds to honor my name.
Come on, right.
Because the people can only learn as much as you teach, as well as you teach it. If you say it, they learn it. If you don't, you don't. I'm going to give you an example. I don't know how much we're going to be able to cover today. But I'm going to give you an example. So when my husband and I were new pastors, you know, we had lots of street people. That's what we've always drawn. That's who we've always gone to. Those that don't know the Lord, why go to another church and take half their people and have a bunch of Christians that already knew God?
Right.
So let's go and find those that don't know God. And so I'll tell you about an example that happened though. So I was invited by one of the church guys. He met this girl at a gas station. And as they began to talk and he was a Christian, she said she was a Christian too. And she's leading a Bible study. He said, I went and they don't even have a Bible while they do the Bible study.
Yeah.
And he said, will you come with me to this trailer park to do this Bible study? It was the worst trailer park in the city. I said, I sure will.
Galilee.
Yes. Yeah. I said, are you sure it's okay if I come? I will come. And so this was when we first started our church. So I go and I take my Bible. And again, they just got up from bed. Not married, the couple, they had just smoked some weed. The house reeked. And she came out to lead Bible study with no Bible. And half of what she said was utter nonsense and contrary to the word of God. And I was just quiet as everybody spoke their piece. And finally, there was a quiet spot and it got to me. And I was the only one that had not spoken. And I said, hello, you know, I'm John's pastor's wife. And I got a word for you guys, if it's okay, if I share it, you know? So I opened my Bible and I shared from the word and they were a little stunned to be actually having a Bible in their Bible study. And so anyway, they did like it. And the couple that led the Bible study came to church after that. And they're not married, remember I told you, but they are living together and fornication, right? And so, which the Bible clearly talks against. So after they came to church, they got convicted right away and decided they were going to get married and no longer just live together. And so they're going to make an actual commitment, right? And so, but she wanted to have a wedding. So they were going to put this wedding off for some months so she can get the dress and she can get all this stuff and what have you. And in the meantime, God spoke to me and said, you need to talk to her about sleeping with this guy, that it needs to stop and wait until they get married. And I was like, God, really? Like, they're already going to get married. They're new to you. They're convicted. I don't want to chase them out of the church, you know? Mm. And that's people, that's the biggest fear that leadership pastors have, is they don't want people to leave the church. So they let all this stuff go on because they don't want people to leave their ministry. Right.
Right.
And so, so I was like, you know, God, please, can I wait? So I didn't do it when God told me to. And then the girl herself that was in the situation called me and said, listen, I had a dream. I had this weird dream last night. I don't even know why I'm telling you, she said. And so when she said I had a dream, I immediately knew that probably God was going to speak to me through this dream. So this is her dream. She said, I had a dream that I came to the church and I didn't have any clothes on. And I noticed, oh, wow, I don't have any clothes on. She said, and then all of a sudden I had a towel and I thought, well, I'll wrap this towel around me. And I hope that you wouldn't notice. And so she's covering her nakedness, which means flesh. Okay. The flesh. I'm covering my flesh and you, hopefully you don't notice. And so she said, I see you and you came and you talked to me. And if you did notice, you didn't act like you did. So I felt comfortable just the way I was. Mm. She said, then I heard your husband's voice and I thought, oh no, I don't want him to see me like this. She said, but when he came in the room, he spoke to me. And if he noticed, he didn't act like he noticed. So I felt comfortable again. And I knew exactly what God was saying. He was smacking me upside the head saying, I told you to not leave her in her flesh.
Yeah, come on.
And trust me, right? With doing the right thing. So I said, listen, I know what that dream means. And I was supposed to have talked to you about it about a week ago. And so I went ahead and I told her the dream, the interpretation of that dream. And her husband worked 2 days first shift. It's called swing shift. 2 days second shift and 2 days third shift. So on the days that he was home at night, she began to stay at my house. And that way they wouldn't have the temptation until they got married. And they honored God by doing that. And we honored God
yes.
by doing what we were supposed to do. And yeah. so...
Yeah. I was just going to say, it's so, amazing to me in Malachi 2, that verse you're reading, where God is talking to the priest and says, honor, make up your minds to honor my name. And they weren't not serving him. They were just not teaching the truth. That's how they were dishonoring his name. But the word of God is supposed to tear down and build up. That's part of the process of discipleship.
Amen. And on that note, people will do that. People are doing that yeah. right now, in fact, and I don't even have so many people. But okay, so listen, so I do got to read more of this chapter. This is what God says to the priests who don't teach properly, the people that God has trusted them with. He said, I will bring a terrible curse against you. I will curse even the blessings you receive. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you have not taken my warning to heart. I will punish your descendants and splatter your faces with the manure from your festival sacrifices. He literally calls what you've been spreading is nothing but poo.
Wow.
Nothing but poo. Right. Oh, wow, wow, wow. So let's just talk about that for a minute. So he says, I'm going to put the manure from your festival sacrifices and I will throw on you the manure pile.
Yeah.
Then at last, you will know it was I who sent this warning so that my covenant with the Levites can continue, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. So not every one of them is like this, but I'm going to give you an example of my husband and I, when we closed the church and moved to a new city, God clearly told us to open a church in Tyler. And I said, but God, there's a church on every corner. There is a church on every corner.
Yeah.
Almost in all cities. There's definitely enough churches for everybody to fit in. But
right.
And so why do they need another church? This is a bigger city. Why can't we go to another church? Right. And so God gave me a dream. And in this dream, me and my husband were out in the sun and it was in the desert. There was no water. We were thirsty. We were tired. We were hot. And I see this building that looks like a warehouse. And I say to my husband, let's go in there. That's the only thing I see in the desert. So let's go into this building. You know, maybe we can find some shade and maybe some water. When we go into the building, there are rows and rows of sinks lined up. That's all that's in the building. It's sinks and they're hooked up like, you know, it's faucets. And so I say to my husband, they have markings on them that they belong to a certain church or a denomination or what have you. And I say to my husband, surely they won't mind if we get some water from their spout, right? And so I open the spout and what comes out of the faucet is just poop. Okay.
Yuck.
So now if you got Securus and you have the audio episodes, you might have this on your audio episode, but all that comes out is poo, turds. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And that's what falls into the sink. And I'm like, ooh, right. So I turn on the next one. Ooh, this is what keeps falling out. Mm. This is what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's saying it's turned into a bunch of manure. Right. Like, you're not preaching my word, my true word. And when you do preach my true word, it says in other scriptures, it changes lives.
Yes.
It right. changes lives.
Brings
they don't
life.
Stay
yeah.
this, they don't stay the same way. It changes their life. And so God was saying, okay, there are a lot of churches, but not many. Many good ones, not many true ones, not many real ones, not many that are spreading the water of God.
Right.
There are so many compromising situations because they just want butts and chairs and money in the pocketbook rather than teaching right. the people how to live right.
Right. If there's certain biblical words or certain passages or certain books of the Bible that they refuse to preach, then you have to be concerned because it's the whole counsel of God, the whole word of God that brings the growth like Eve's talking about.
And so the last scripture I'm going to read in this chapter, chapter 2 of Malachi, which is a very small book, it says, the words of the priest's lips should preserve the knowledge of God, and people should go to them for instruction. For the priest is the messenger of the Lord of heaven's armies, but you priests have left God's paths. Your instructions have caused many to stumble into sin. You have corrupted the covenant I made with the Levites, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So I've made you despised and humiliated in all the eyes of the people, for you have not obeyed me, but shown favoritism. Favoritism in the way you carry out my instructions. And it is favoritism when there's certain people, if they've got a certain amount of money and they give that certain amount of money to your church. And so they get certain amount of privileges. And so they don't get to hear the whole word of God. You're like, oh, let them do that. You let them do that because, hey, they got the money and we don't want them to go.
Right.
Or they play the guitar real good and we don't want them to go. Or they are this great leader. They work really hard and they clean the church. So we don't want them to go. So whatever right. those reasons are that you have shown favoritism and told the rest of the people how to live right, but not your own.
Right.
Your homeboys, right? Because that's what they are. You haven't showed your own homeboys, your own homegirls, your own family, or whatever it is, whoever it is, whatever it is, they have that favoritism in your sight. Doesn't mean you get to change the word for them in God's sight.
Come on.
It don't happen. And so you should be able to go to the priest for instruction. You should be able to. But because you've changed my word, the Bible says, right? God says, like things are coming your way that you don't want to see. All right. And so I'm going to go to Ezekiel real quick. This is a good, good, good one too. Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3, you guys, there's just so much. Chapter 2, son of man, stand up, says the voice. Said the voice, I want to speak with you. This is to Ezekiel. The spirit came to me unto me as he spoke, and he set me on my feet. I listened carefully to his word, son of man, I'm sending you to a nation of Israel, which means these are people that are supposed to know me. These are my own
right.
people, God's people, the church, in other words,
yeah.
a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been rebelling against me to this very day. They are a stubborn and hard-hearted people, but I am sending you to say this to them. This is what the sovereign Lord says, and whether they listen or refuse to listen. For remember, they are rebels.
Wow.
At least they will know they have had a prophet among them. So
come
look,
it,
what he's saying there are some that are going to listen.
Right.
And there are some that refuse to listen.
Right.
So your excuse can't be as a leader, well, I will go, but they're not going to listen to me anyway. He
right.
don't care.
Right.
He's like, you still go. Now, if they don't listen, that's on them. But if they do listen, they might listen. There's some that will listen. Then you've
yes.
saved their soul, right? So whether they refuse to listen or not, it's time to go. He said, son of man, in verse 6, do not fear them or their words. Do not be afraid, even though their threats surround you like nettles and briars
yeah.
and stinging scorpions. And it does.
Right.
Like when people start
yeah.
talking about you. Now, look, this is a whole different ballgame because we've always pastored a church.
Yeah.
So the only people I'm worried about, right, that I'm in charge of, that I'm responsible for, is my own church, our people. I taught our people, right? Because they were entrusted to me. Now this podcast, not everybody that comes on our podcast, they're not our church people. They don't even live in the state. Some
right.
of them. I don't
right.
know their personal lives,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
So I try to be careful. We try to be careful. We want to bring people on the podcast that you can emulate.
Come on.
Right?
Yes.
People that can say, follow me as I follow Christ.
Right.
right. Right? When my husband and I got married, that's what I said to him in my vows. We wrote our own vows. And that was my most important line. I said, I
right.
will follow you as you follow Christ. Because I had already had one. that didn't follow Christ, right? And I didn't follow him that way. No, I'm not going to go drinking. No, I'm not going to go do these stuff. No, right. I'm not doing that.
Come on.
Right? So I said, I will follow you as you follow Christ. The implication was when you stop following Christ, I'm not following you no more.
Right.
Right?
Right.
When you go to get us killed spiritually, if you do that, I'm not going. Right?
Right. Right.
And so we try to give you people that you can emulate, but they're not all our people. Mm. So a couple of times, right? A couple of times for sure in this year that we've been on, there might've been somebody I found out was doing something or two that I've talked to. And it's so crazy because one of them that I would thought be like, no, I'm not listening, said, at first kind of said that, but then said, you know what? You're right. And you showed me the word of God and I'm going to listen.
Come on.
Right. And then one of them that I thought would listen and said, I will, right? Said, yes, and I get it. And I'm glad you said them to me, would not listen.
Right.
And did not listen. And then the scorpions began, right? Just try to sting Eve and sting real vida or whatever. Nettles, briars, scorpions, do not be dismayed by their dark scowls, even though they are rebels. You must give them my message, whether they listen or not.
Come on.
But they won't listen, for they're completely rebellious. People that are rebellious, they've made their mind up. They're not going to listen, but you still are responsible to tell the truth. Son of man, listen to what I say. Do not join them in the rebellion. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Then I looked and I saw a hand reaching out to me, which he unrolled, and I saw both sides were covered with funeral songs, words of sorrow, and pronouncements of doom. Because if we don't follow the word of God, judgment's coming.
Right.
Right. The way God said to do it. We don't get to do God our own way. He ain't Burger King. Right. Right. We don't get to. Right. And if we did, I mean, it would be all kinds of crazy. Look at how it is with people that are living their own way. It is all kinds of crazy.
Right.
It makes people that are not Christian go, I don't want that. Look how they're living. They don't even live what they say they believe. They don't even trust their own God. They don't even follow their own word. Why would I go?
Right.
Right. We're turning people away. We're gathering or scattering. We're building up or tearing down.
Right.
Clearly the word says that. So with your life, you're doing one or the other.
Yeah. You know, I mean, one example that comes to mind while you're talking about that is you see these vans and trucks that are driving and they say, how's my driving? Call 1-800-WHATEVER. Because what the employer wants to do is if they're driving recklessly and dangerously, they want the people on the roadway to call into the employer because the employer doesn't want his driver out there driving crazy because he's representing his company. So he's out there being dangerous, right? You know, and really the employer is not doing his job if he doesn't control that driver from being reckless out there because it's putting people at risk.
And you can. You can talk to, sometimes we had a situation some years ago, whatever. I called the head of the ministry and I let them know. I said, you know, this is what happened. I'm just letting you know, you know, I don't know. I know that sometimes you may say something to the manager or CEO and they don't care. You know, they're like, I'm okay with that. Okay. I mean, and you may be okay with that. I'm just letting you know, because what was done was wrong. And I'm just letting you know, you do with it what you will, you know?
Right.
And so that's what I said. Sometimes the leader don't care. They don't mind whatever their person under them is doing. That's up to them. But whoever is around us, under us in some way, we're going to try to do our best to have those walk in the line. Now, we can't do anything if somebody today is serving God really well and they're on the podcast and then next year they fall and they start going back and they end up back in prison. We can't do anything about that. We can't foresee that. But if we know right now and they refuse to change and say, I know that's wrong, but I'm not going to do it, then I'm going to do my best, even if it's removing them from the podcast that I put up or anything like that. I'm going to do my best to try to make that right, you know, because we want to give you people you can emulate.
Right.
And remember, people are human. That you, if you've been serving God for any amount of time, may have fallen in some area of your life and you got back up, that happens. And we can't always do that. That's why the Bible says, listen to what they preach about the Pharisees. The Pharisees. Right. The Bible says, listen to what they say, do what they say, not what they do.
Right.
Because the Pharisees were so well-versed in the scriptures and they told them just perfectly right. They just didn't live it.
Right.
And so he was like, go ahead and listen to what they say because they're the ones that know and they've been to school.
Right.
They've been schooled and trained in this and what to say, but they're not living it. So don't copy what they do because they're judgmental and terrible. So,
come on.
So anyway, He said this, "Son of man, go to the people of Israel and give them my message. I am not sending you to a foreign people whose language you cannot understand. No, I'm sending you to a people with, I'm not sending you to people with strange and difficult speech. If I did, they would listen. But the people of Israel, they won't listen to you any more than they listen to me." And that's the thing. If they know the word and they're not willing to listen to God,
right,
on what it says do, and they know what God says do and don't do,
right,
then how are they going to listen to us?
Right. Right. Go on.
But if he sends you to go, you've got to go. He said, they're stubborn, hard-hearted. But look, God gave me this right before I ever started. Verse chapter 8, right? This is mine. He says, but look, I have made you as obstinate and hard-headed as they are. Come on. I have made your forehead as hard as the hardest rock. So don't be afraid of them or fear their angry looks, even though they are rebels. And I have encountered this for 34 years in my ministry at times that I still taught the truth. He said, do this whether they listen to you or not. When you warn a man in his sin, you guys, you're going to have to read these scriptures, and he turns away from it, then you've saved his soul. When right. you warn a man in his sin and he doesn't change and he keeps doing what he's doing, then he's going to lose his own soul. But you have cleaned your own hands and you've done what I've told you to do. Verse 20, yeah. if righteous people turn away from their righteous behavior and ignore the obstacles I put in their way, they will die. In other words, what he's saying, God is saying, I'm always warning people.
Right.
So when they're sinning and they're doing this thing habitually, right? I've sent them dreams. I've sent them the word of God through sermons. I've sent them through songs. I've sent them through neighbors. I've even sent them through people that don't know them, but they refuse to stop doing what they're doing. He said, you know, I've put obstacles in their way. And if they have been righteous, doing right at one point in their lives or a long time in their lives, but then they begin to do wrong, he said, I mean, they're still accountable for that. All the right in the world isn't going to erase the wrong that you're doing. So yeah. you can't go, well, I just got 20 people saved, so then I get to do this one thing.
Right.
This one sin. You don't get to do that. That's not how it works, okay? So I'm going to go, and I'm going to try to end here. My goodness, it goes a long time. I'm going to go to one thing in 1 Timothy chapter 2.
Yeah.
On one of the things that we need to be discipled on, not just in America, for sure, but 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10. And I want women to be modest in their appearance. It's ladies' night, right? This is ladies' teaching, okay? I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing. Uh-oh, that's hard in America, right? That's yeah. hard even in the church. Women in America have gotten so used to culture.
Right.
But when did God ever say, let's take on the culture of those around us rather than set the culture for those around us, right?
Right.
And so he said, I want them to wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves. Now, in this particular era, right, time, by the way they fix their hair or wearing of gold or pearls or expensive clothes. It doesn't mean that you cannot wear expensive clothes or pearls or gold, but they were doing it excessively. Now, they didn't right. so much show their bodies in their clothes. Everybody kind of wore these long robes and dresses, although there was somewhat indecent at the top, right? But mostly they tried to get attention by big pearls, gold, big braids in their hair where, you know.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you remember that show with Elf? When he had that round head that went up. yeah. yeah. That's kind of how their yeah. hair was. If you look at the old, yeah. you know, they would put their hair up and get attention by being really big headed, right? And so, yeah. So, but this is not what we're struggling with right now is so much the big hair and decorating your hair and all that kind of thing and lots of jewelry. More it's with indecent apparel that,
right.
that women are now. Dawn Adkins, when she came, she told me before we got on the podcast, that's one of the things they teach their women, is just appropriate clothing, decent right. apparel, how to be modest. And whether you're wearing a dress or you're wearing slacks, you can be immodest or modest in any of those things.
Right.
So, you know, when I was growing up, our church taught that the only modesty was a dress. But when we went to the conferences, wow. They had dresses on, but they would have been so many would have been more decent in a pair of slacks.
Right.
So it's not just a dress that does it, right?
Right.
It's the kind of dress.
Yes.
It's the kind of slacks. It's how they're fitting you. It's how low and short and tight and see-through and all that that it is, right?
Right.
So he said, I want you to wear appropriate clothing. Now, that's something that we've taught in our ministry when we had the church. If you were going to go up on the worship team, as a woman, you got to be properly dressed. So if you want to be on the worship team, that's one of the things I let you know. You're not one of the crowd just coming, you know, they're coming
right.
in all these ways. But if you're going to be a leader, then I let them know this is one of the requirements, you know, is that okay? If not, then no, you can't be a leader here, because that's not just a suggestion. It's a requirement, and it's not my requirement. It's the requirement of the Word of God. And yeah. and we have people that are already struggling that have had porn problems and molestation and many things that have affected their minds that they already have a hard time. Why do we as the Christians, the leaders and the church want to be adding to that?
Right.
Right. And I understand that there are some people that no matter what you have on are going to do that. Until they're healed, until they're transformed, renewed in their mind, they're going to do that. But let it not be us being the problem. You know,
right.
let's be blameless.
Come on.
In what we do. And then it's on them.
Yeah.
Okay. So did I taught Sam? Sam's been with us for 20 years and Andy and, you know, any woman, young woman that came in our church that was in any sort of leadership. And by the way, going into the prison is another way, another reason why, you're a leader and you should be dressing appropriately. And I require that for those that come with us. But if you're a woman, now, men, okay, so you say, what about men? Because maybe you're like, why haven't you said nothing to them? They're not typically walking around in spandex and Speedos.
Right.
They're not, right? And so right. That's not something our culture, thank God, has done where yeah. men are, you know, now if they're throwing their shirts off every minute, you know, to flex, you know there's a problem. Yeah, what does right. he want? Attention, right? You
right.
know? So yeah, you know, but it's really a problem with our women. It really is.
Yeah.
And it's an American culture first that did it. And, you know, we've just gone along with that. And the church has adopted its practices rather than changing the world around it. Now, when I taught Andy and Sam, was it because I was jealous? I was just jealous because they were getting so much attention. No, it wasn't.
Right.
It was because I was following the word and the will of God to teach my young ladies what is appropriate, that men could see the beauty of their inside and see the beauty of their outside, but you don't have to wear tight clothes to get it, right?
Right.
And so that's something that, oh, you know, I don't know. We'll probably get a lot of letters. I hope
yeah.
some saying thank you for teaching us and something to consider and something to pray about. I know this podcast is different, but you said you wanted to be discipled, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what we're going to do is we're going to disciple you. You got anything to add, honey?
Yeah, I was just going to kind of add, hopefully to help kind of close it up, Luke chapter 18, verse 18, where it talks about the story of the rich young ruler. And let me just say this first. If you're having a problem like with your back or your neck or whatever, you go in to see a chiropractor or a doctor, sometimes they're going to be like pushing around and they're trying to find where the spot is. And sometimes there's going to be a sore spot. And when they push it and you like flinch, then
yeah.
okay, that's the sore spot, right? So here this one religious leader asked Jesus this question, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus asked him. Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. The man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. And when Jesus heard his answer, he said, there is still one thing that you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And then come, follow me. But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. And so, you know, it's just interesting to me, you know, that these commandments are given out in no particular order, right? Because he wasn't hitting, you know, them in sequentially. He was trying to show that there was one thing that he lacked. There was one thing that
yeah.
he wasn't willing to do. And so, of
Amen.
Course, the dressing appropriately is just one example of when you're getting discipled. Sometimes it's the sore spot. So if you don't like that spot being touched, it's maybe because it's the one thing that you lack.
That you don't want to give
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that you don't want to give up.
You don't want to give up.
Right.
Okay. I mean, and look, it says here, for women, women, verse 10, well, I'm back still in 2 Timothy.
Yeah.
For women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do, right?
Right.
If it claimed to be devoted to God, but are you really? Will you do everything he says instead of some things that he says? And one open door, it just kind of ruins the rest. One, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, right?
Right.
So how can anybody hear what you're saying when your chest is falling out in their face, right? They can't. They can't hear what you're saying because of the way you're dressed, because it's so loud and distracting. And you don't even have to be attractive.
Right.
Listen, Linda, if you see somebody, and I've seen plenty in Walmart, you go to Walmart and boy, you see all kind of crazy there. And they're not maybe what the world considers attractive, but they've got almost nothing on. Everybody's kind of taking a second glance and, you know, hey, did you see so-and-so, right? Did you see that? Like people are pretty shocked by it. It's not because you're lusting or it's causing a ruckus. It's abnormal. Right?
Yeah.
It's strange. It's unusual. It's going to capture attention. And so if we say we're devoted to God, then we got to live like we're devoted to God. This is a big problem for women all over. It's been a trick of the enemy. And the truth is you're going to gain the wrong attention.
Right.
If you are dressed that way and there's a godly man, he's looking for somebody modest if he's truly godly.
Right.
Right. That's not showing what belongs to him to everybody else. And if you dress that way, you're going to draw the attention. You're putting a message out there and you're going to draw the attention from the wrong kind of guys that are only looking for that.
Right.
And so what is it that you're looking for? Right. It is a big problem. And then, you know, we talk about eye gates and ear gates. And that we got to be careful what we're putting in our eyes and we're careful what we're putting in our ears. But we not only got to guard, I not only have to guard my eye gates and my ear gates, I should be trying to guard the eye gates and the ear gates of my brother in Christ.
Yes.
You know, to not cause him to stumble.
Right.
And especially, you know, there are those, they have wives, you know, they have daughters and that's somebody else's wife and daughter, by the way. Right. So we should be guarding the eye gates and the ear gates, not only for ourselves, but for those around us. So I know we got this out in a hurry and we still took really long. I hope that we got it out well and that you've learned and that you're reading the scriptures and you're praying about it for your own life, for what you're going to do with it and how you're going to apply it to your life and to your spirit. And so let's pray, honey.
All right. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word that both tears down and builds up. We just thank you that you're discipling all of us, God, to be more and more in your image. And we want to be followers of you, Lord. And I just pray that this word will hit home and it's going to resonate. People are not going to be able to not think about it, God, but that you're going to be disturbing all of us to be looking for areas in which we need to grow. God, I just ask that you make every leader, spiritual leader that's listening to this podcast, no longer be afraid, God, but they're going to do what they're called to do. They're going to preach the truth. They're not going to compromise, God, because they're going to care about the souls of those entrusted to them. God, for every single one of us, God, we just ask that you make us more in your image. Help us by your spirit to do the things that are hard, that we cannot do on our own. We do not want to hold on to that one thing that we lack, God. We don't want to hold on like the rich young ruler did. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
What's up, y'all? This is Trey Nine, and I'm very thankful for Real Vida and the partnership to put out interviews as well as the Hip Hop Hope documentary. And then being able to come on here and just tell you guys, look, I am getting your letters. This is probably only 50. I got 50 in the hands of some people on my team. I've already written to this box full of letters. It's just coming out. There's probably like 150. And I pray and thank God for every letter. I pray over every letter. Thank God for every letter. And I'm knocking them out as quickly as I can. You got to remember so much going on here. But I do care and every letter matters. And so I'm trying to get back to everybody at least once. And so shout out to Real Vida for allowing me to just communicate with you guys and say, hey, I'm responding as quickly as I can. Keep your head up. Jesus loves you. Peace.
Yeah. All the time, God is good all the time. All the time. Red and blind, I got Jesus on my mind. On my mind. Gotta grind with this little light of mine. Light of mine. I don't hide.
Just made it to New York City.
I can do it on my own.
This is the first concert.
So this is going to be the first concert that happens at Rikers since Johnny Cash. Like, a concert of this caliber, this big, this technical, this many people, this many artists, has not happened in a long time.
Everybody breaks, everybody bleeds. You don't need to be ashamed. The Savior is a breath away.
New Yorkers, looking for another beautiful day here in the city. Clouds to start us off out there. Temperatures staying in high 40s.
Okay. You can see Rikers from the airport.
Yep, that's it.
See the barbed wire?
Be that fam, Miss Kelly Marco. I'm here at the cafe. Tell us a little bit about what we got going on.
We are so excited. We have a houseful of beautiful migrants that have just come into America, and we get the honor and privilege of letting them know who Jesus is. Can you believe it? We're yes. So excited.
Y'all,
so excited.
There are 9 million people in the city of New York that have nowhere to go and that have nowhere to be. And some of them are here. We get to share the love of God with them. We went to Rikers Island. Shout out to the Rikers girls. We had a great time.
Yes.
And this is a little bit of what God is doing. Just wanted to share with y'all. We love you so much.
Emotions get high enough things. Everyday thing. Yeah.
Everyday thing. Everyday
yeah.
Thing.
God don't owe me anything. I owe him everything. They tried to put him in a box like a wedding ring. He came out, oh dear, no venison. I sent a disease, Jesus is still the medicine. Woo. That's why these bars hard to explain. So I calculate my rhymes sort of like a chess game.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
For the fight of my life, hit my knees and I strap on my gloves. Boy, I've been prepping since like I was 7, and thing is I'm already covered in blood.